Powerful principle of meditation. And this is an amazing subject because this can be a tool for you that will advance you in the kingdom for the rest of your life. It's not something you outgrow. This is something you continue to grow in. And so it's very, very exciting. Let me just say to you that one of the things that's so exciting about the Word is that it is alive. Jesus is the Word, and we love the Word, and the Word of God is so active and is so present for you in your present day. And we're going to take a few minutes and look at the psalmist, great psalmist David, in Psalm 27, and I want you to just see, because it looks like that he just walks into our world and speaks and addresses our world and points to Jesus, points to God. It's going to be very exciting for you. Because the Word of God, He can speak to the right now in your life. That's what's great about the Word of God. Anybody ready for God to speak to the right now in your life? I know you are. That's why you're here and why you're tuning in. Let's get with it. Psalm 27 and verse 1 says this. Boy, this is a great one. And this is out of the Amplified. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, I want to tell you, that's great to meditate on the Lord about. Because He is your light. I remember as a kid, you know, we would take our little rifles. I'm not telling you what kind. We'd take our little rifles, and there was, a horse barn that I've got in mind this morning as I'm telling you. And we would get inside the horse barn and close the door and let everything get quiet and dark. And then someone would kick the door open. We'd have someone programmed to kick the door open, and we'd start shooting because the little critters start running when the light shows up. That was pretty exciting. And I'm telling you, that's what happens when Jesus is your light. Because little critters of the dark try to creep in. And I want to tell you, when you're focusing on Jesus as your light, guess what? The light shows up in your life, in the very area of your need, and it causes the critters of the dark to run. Hey, darkness flees to light. And He's our salvation. And our salvation doesn't just mean that it's a ticket to heaven. He's a whole lot more than a ticket to heaven. Thank God for heaven. It's all right to celebrate heaven and be encouraged about heaven. It's good. It's all good. But I'm here to tell you that there's a salvation of Jesus that He wants us to experience in the nasty now and now, not just in the sweet by and by. And I want to tell you, He's available. Everything that He is available to us. He is peace. Anybody need peace in this journey? He is joy. Anybody need joy in this journey? He's overwhelming love. Anybody need to be loved on? Anybody need provision? Because He's our provision. You see, that's in salvation. He's our provider because He's the great I Am. He's our healer. Anybody need to be touched in their soul or in their body? I want to tell you, that can be like a continual. Jesus is that. And He loves to manifest Himself. And this is what He says. The Lord is my light and He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? There's no one to fear or dread. The Lord is the refuge. Boy, He's our refuge. Isn't that great? I want you to think about the fort, Old West forts. And they were built up to protect the ones inside and to keep the enemy out. And that's what the Lord is. He's our refuge and He's our stronghold. I tell the teens, it's like He's our secret place. He's our hideout place. He's our safe place. And I want to tell you, that's what He is. And when you get to know Him, meditate on, and receive of Him who He is, there is nothing to fear. Man, that's powerful. Because there's a lot of fear out there. It don't have to be in here. All right? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh. That sounds kind of personal, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. They stumbled and fell. In other words, he would see, because he recognized the Lord as his shelter. He recognized the Lord as his light and salvation, his refuge and his stronghold. Then I want to tell you what he saw. When people come to eat him up, he saw them fall by the wayside. Is that a good testimony? Though a host encamp about me. Sometimes we get surrounded, don't we? I'm telling you, he said, even though a host encamp me, my heart shall not fear. I don't have to go to fear because of who he is and the confirmation of who he is. Though war arise against me. Even then, and I want to tell you, sometimes war just absolutely declared. I told my wife not too long ago, I said, I do pretty well when I'm getting attacked on one front. because I can focus on the Lord and I can surrender that. And, but, you know, sometimes when you're in a war, you get attacked by more than one front at the same time. Somebody say that's right. And I want to tell you, the Lord is our protector no matter how many have formed against us. He said, even though war arise against me, even then, okay, in this. Now, when he says in this, what is he referring to? He's referring back to verse 1. Okay, I want to tell you, you need to practice it in the small attacks so that when the big attacks come, you're on. It's an auto response about what to do. In this, in verse 1, you recognize the Lord's my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord's my refuge and stronghold in this life. And so that is verse 1. Now, in the next verse, he shows us how to see this, how to recognize this, how to receive it, how it can be a part of our life, how we can walk in it. Are you interested in this? Do you want verse 1 to be an active part of your life? Verse 4, he tells us how to. Boy, this is good, isn't it? Need to put a star by that, draw you a stick figure of you by that, because this is very, very important. He says, even in this, I will be confident. What is your confidence? Confidence in self? No. You put your confidence in self, you're going to be so disturbed. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be discouraged if you put your confidence in self. He's talking about having confidence in God. That's the keeper. That's our rescue, is our confidence in God, not in yourself. It's our assurance and being persuaded that this is our God and he's very personal to us. So here's verse 4. You ready? One thing. Oh, man, we could stop there and just have a time. The main thing, the one thing, the heartbeat needs to be this. I've asked of the Lord that I will seek, inquire for, and insistently. Does that sound like determined to you? Yeah. Continually? Yeah. Determinedly? I will require, in other words, this is main thing, that I will require that I dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence. Now, we're not just talking about church. Yes, we've got a couple of our leadership that are camped out on campus. Okay, we love having them on campus. But I want to tell you something. This is not talking about you coming to live here on campus. It's talking about enjoying the presence of the Lord. And right now, this is New Testament theology, but here we are. In New Testament theology, this is the temple of the Lord. Your body's a living temple. And wherever you are and wherever you go is a worship living center of God. And so he's talking about enjoying the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. Is that your priority? Is that the main thing? Is that your heartbeat? To behold, and I just love this, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and delightful loveliness of the Lord. Do you see that? Now, I want to tell you, see, it's possible to get in the Word and kind of rush through there and try to gain some facts, gain some knowledge, and get out of the Word without observing Jesus. What we're talking about in this series, how to meditate on God in the Word, is practicing His presence, is focusing on Him in the Word. And I want to tell you what's beautiful about focusing and looking to the Lord and seeking the Lord. You know what ends up happening? You get the Holy Spirit reveals Him as He really is. When is the last time that you've enjoyed beholding the loveliness of the Lord? The majesty of the Lord. How much of a prince that he is. How that he's tough but tender with his TLC. And he wants to minister his TLC to you. And how that he's so amazing in the way that he operates and in what he says and what he is. And the glory of his beauty. The beauty of his glory. I want to tell you, that's what we need to see. And that's what David's talking about right here, is to experience the delightful loveliness of the Lord. Get there, see there, seek Him till you see Him. That's the way we put it. And he says this at the end of this verse, to meditate. Meditate on this. Consider this. Inquire of Him in this temple. Are you with me? I want to tell you, when we practice verse 4, verse 1 becomes evident, becomes manifested, becomes something that we're persuaded of and confident in, that the Lord is my refuge and strength. He's my stronghold. Do you see that? We're confident in that. It's not just head knowledge, it's a knowing on the inside. And that's what the Lord wants to be to me and you. The latter part of Psalm 27 says this, verse 13, what would have become of me? Boy, this is good. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Let me just answer that for you. You would have missed it. But you don't have to miss it. Because we can be convinced of verse 1 by practicing verse 4. And you know what? We won't miss. I'm telling you what, when you're practicing verse 4, I'm announcing this to you, it's hard to miss. Man, somebody need to say something about that. And he's talking about that I would see, he's confident that the unfailing love, the goodness of God, is chasing him down, and he's going to see it in the land of the living. That means in this life. What about the sweet by and by? Sure, sure, sure. But he's talking about the right now. That we get to experience it, we get to see it, we get to participate in it. Verse 14 says, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Put your expectation on the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. It's the expectation of his goodness to show up in your life. Be brave and of good courage. Let your heart be stout. That's talking about a strong heart. I want to tell you, God's calling for us in the last days to have strong hearts. You can have a strong heart. I don't care what the doctor has said. You can have a strong heart. And enduring. Enduring means that you won't quit. Yes, he says, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. And when you're practicing verse 4, I'm going to tell you real simply, you meditate on him, you allow him to strengthen your heart. The practice of seeking him results in this, not losing heart. Not giving up. This is God's way. This is one of God's ways for you to not lose heart and give up. This is God's way for you to receive hope continually, to be full of faith continually, and to see all of God's goodness come to pass in your life from the invisible to the visible. Wow. I just love that. Romans 8:6 says this, that to be spiritual-minded is life. All right, to be regular human-minded is death. And so do you want life or death? The Bible also says, 2 Peter 1:3, that everything pertaining to life and godliness has already been provided by Jesus. Is that great news? Ephesians 1:3 says, all spiritual blessing. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. In the invisible, the spiritual realm. Are you with me? Do you believe God's word? This is just a simple picture. This is the heavenly realm. This is the spiritual realm. Here in this realm is everything that Jesus died for, has provided for you. Everything you need in this life, everything you need to live a godly life, Jesus has already provided, and it's up here in the spiritual realm with your name on it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Under here is human living. It's earthly living. You know what? We live here. But I want to tell you, the Bible's real clear that, you know what? We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're supposed to operate out of here. All spiritual blessing has been provided for. And you say, well, Brother Tim, that's just the spiritual. No, no, that's the source. Spiritual is the source. It's all here, my friend. Hey, up here is all the joy that you need. You're going to experience some things this week that you're going to need a little touch of joy. And here you are operating in this life. I want to tell you, in this arena, this carnal human-mindedness is death. In order for you to experience life and receive the peace that he's... more peace than you could ever use in your life has already been paid for. You've got to come from carnal human-mindedness to spiritual-mindedness. And that comes from the Word of God. Meditating on God in the Word. How about the joy? How about the peace? How about the healing that you need? How about the restoration in your heart? Jesus has already provided for it. It's here. Now, what ends up happening is that we have people operating down here that say, well, now, Lord, you know where I'm at, you know my address, and if you want me to have it, you'll bring it from here to here. But I want to tell you, that's not the principles of faith. That's not the principle of depending and leaning on the Lord. That's not the principle of confessing and meditating on His Word to see what He wants, to see who we really are in Christ, and to accept it, and to not only accept it, but to own it, to put our hand to it and receive it. So everything that you need's here, and we operate here, but we got to go as humans from carnal-mindedness, human-mindedness, to a spiritual mindset, and that comes from the Word of God and practicing the presence of Jesus right here. This is how this little series can help you receive everything that Jesus has paid for in your life, because it's fully, completely paid for. Somebody say amen. Amen. Where do you want to live? Where do you want to operate? I want to tell you, hey, His touch for your life is right here, and it's available. Who is going to go from here to here and practice meditating on God and the Word, practice seeing Him and receiving from Him? Because David gives us the picture of how this operates. Now, I know that in last week we talked about the little woman with overcoming faith. Do you remember who that is? See, I'm not referring to her anymore about what her problem was. I'm referring to her why she overcame. And by her overcoming faith, she's a woman of over. When you meet her in heaven, you say, here's the woman of overcoming faith. Hey, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. We talked about it last week. You may need to go back last week because I'm going to kind of add to it a little bit. I don't want you to miss. But I want to announce something to you. I hope that you see this. This woman was not fighting some kind of tug of war. Unbelief, belief. Unbelief, believe. That's not what you see with her. She wasn't trying to do some religious aerobics. She wasn't trying to go through some steps to try to earn something from Jesus. Hey, she wasn't trying to overcome her faith with her own strength. Faith, 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 more faith, more faith. It wasn't like that. You don't see her trying to faith harder in order to win a miracle. That's not God's way. You don't see that. Yet she wasn't focused on faith exercises. There are entire books of faith exercises that tell you how to grow your faith. And it wasn't on that, because I want to announce something to you. She wasn't focused on her lack. She had lost all of her money. She wasn't focused on her bank account or the lack of one. She wasn't even focused on her sickness. Can you imagine this? See, this goes against the human world thinking. This goes against the carnal, regular mindset of a human. She wasn't focused on her sickness. She wasn't focused on her lack. Hey, it's so simple, you need help to misunderstand it. She was focused on Jesus. What He said, what He did, revealed who He was, who He is. And that's what she was conscious of. She was conscious of Jesus. Somebody say Grace Channel. Yeah, because that's what she was on. She was on the Grace Channel. She was focused on Jesus' supply more than her need. Now, I want to tell you, that's a powerful, it's easy to say, it may be harder to do. You have to do this in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit's there helping us to do this. It's for everybody. It's not just for a few. But the Grace Channel, Jesus has supplied everything that we need. He has supplied more than enough. Someone say more than enough. She esteemed Jesus. She glorified Jesus. She magnified Jesus. Why? Because she had heard about Jesus. And faith comes by hearing. Hope came first. I want to tell you, let's just cover again these little scriptures. Mark 5, 27, 28. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. Do you hear that? I mean, she heard the reports of His words and of His works, and she had meditated on those. She had sowed that into her heart, and it results in her coming up behind. It results in a faith expression. She came up behind Him in a crowd of people, and she touched His garment, because this is what the Bible says she had been meditating on. She kept saying, verse 28 says, for she kept saying, and I shared with you that meditation means to mutter to yourself, to completely, to repeat, and it means to muse, to go over in your mind. and convince this, to think about it, to plan it, to proclaim, to focus on it, to go over and over in your mind and to say it over and over. And this is what she kept meditating on. And it became a meditation from hope and faith in the heart to expression of faith with her words. She said, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. That became a word of faith. If I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, I believe that she must have heard this, see, from witnesses. And I want to announce that this is a very important part for us because there was witnesses that sowed into her. It may have been a few friends, some townsfolk or whatever, and they sowed to her how Jesus opened up the eyes of the blind, how he cleansed the lepers, how he cast out demons. He healed all the sick people that came to him. She must have heard how that Jesus' heart was so big and his power to heal was so big that he had such a heart, a big heart for the sick and the needy and the poor. And he helped people and he spoke words of life into situations of death. And how that even his heart was so big that it caused that even when people would just touch his garment, it would make them well. I want to tell you, that ought to be a sign that God wants you well. He's no respecter of persons. He's the same Jesus. Matthew 14, 35 says this. This is so important because this speaks about the witnesses that sowed. Are you sowing into others the words and the testimony, the words and the works of Jesus? Because that's how Jesus multiplies the kingdom. Matthew 14, 35. And when the men of that place... Whoa, wait. Those men, we don't know their name. Their names are not mentioned. I want to make an announcement to you. We don't know their names here, but they're famous in heaven. I want to tell you, the no names here are going to be famous there. Now, I'm going to also share with you some of the famous names here are not going to be famous there. A lot of the rewards given here. But I'm here to tell you, hey, I love to study about David's mighty men, and I've been working for a few years, a little bit at a time, on a series about David's mighty men. You know, one of David's mighty men was worth 800 enemy. Is that amazing? Well, I want to tell you what this is. These are heroes of the kingdom right here. These are heroes in the kingdom. These mighty men of faith that we see right here in verse 35, who knows how many souls they're responsible for. Hey, listen, that can be me and you. They recognized him. See, that's our part for being a witness. They recognized him, and they sent around into all the surrounding country and brought to him all who were sick. Do you see what they did? They believed in Jesus. They believed enough to go sow the reports and to gather the people and bring them. Now, I want to tell you, I preached at a church years ago. They had an amazing bus ministry. As a matter of fact, they had a whole parking lot just full of buses. And, man, they had an amazing team that would get out there and work the weekends getting kids to come, and they'd go pick up all them kids. And on it was such an amazing thing. But when I saw that, I said to myself, this is not the first ministry that's ever done this. Here they are right here. And they probably brought them on donkeys and brought them on camels and brought them on stretchers. Come on. And I want to tell you, it's very, very powerful. Don't you know it touches the heart of Jesus when we sow his words and his works into other people and we bring them. They recognized him. They sent around throughout the surrounding country and brought to him all who were sick. And look at verse 36. And begged him, and I want to tell you, I didn't see this till this past year when I was studying on this, because I had always assumed that it was the sick people begging him. But I want to tell you something. I really believe that it was the same men. The same men that recognized Jesus and went out throughout the country and telling them to come, the same men would tell Jesus, just let him touch you. That's all that needs to happen is for them to touch you, and they'll be healed. And begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment. Now, I want to tell you, these same men that believed in Jesus on the inside and had hope, the picture of hope for others, and the expression of faith on the inside, they let it be on the outside. And we see the expressions of faith. And many, many people were touched and healed that wouldn't have been because of these mighty men of the kingdom. Wow, I just love that. And you know what? It wasn't a one-time event. Okay? So I actually got challenged one time. A guy said, you know, that is, preacher, you act like this is a theme. Yeah, it is. This was a theme of Jesus. Okay, this is what he did. Mark 6:56 says this, and wherever means wherever, and whenever, he came to a new wherever. Wherever he came into villages or cities. You say, well, it just happens in the big churches, in the city. No, it doesn't. Jesus can touch people anywhere and everywhere. And whenever he came into villages or cities or the country, they would lay the sick in the marketplaces and beg him that they might touch even the fringe of his outer garment. And as many, no, wait, as few, as little, some, no, as many as touched him were restored to health. Now, this is what we try to teach about even Psalm 27, verse 4, is that, you know what, practice touching the Lord. He loves for you to touch him. He wasn't in this marketplace, you know, they would line him up and down, and I got this picture in my mind because I practice my imagination room with the Word. It helps the Holy Spirit bring it alive to me. And one of the scenes that I see here is that they would bring the sick and lay them out in the marketplace on the street there on each side. And they would line that out. And so and when you're thinking about this, don't think about 183, this big six-lane highway out here, because their roads were small. They didn't have big trucks coming down them. And so they were small. They would look more like a lane at Costco or a big aisle at Walmart, Wally World. And so you kind of have to have that in mind, but they would line up the sick on each side. And I got this picture because I don't watch basketball. But for some reason, I had it on basketball one day, and I saw them coming out as they would announce them, and they would have their hands out like this, and they would come running out, and the other players were there, and they would just touch the hands as they... Have you ever seen that? When I saw that, I got so excited because the Holy Spirit was giving me pictures. This is what it was like with Jesus. When they would line the sick out on each side, and he'd come along, and he would hold out his robe on each side, and they would just reach out and touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched him were restored to health. Tell me how exciting that was. I want to tell you what it was. It was the glory of God. The glory of God is not just restricted for a couple thousand years ago. He loves to share his glory with those who trust him the most. And I want to tell you, that's what expressions of faith get. Hey, touch. Now, I want to tell you, not only did I get that picture, I got a scripture to go with it. Are you ready for this? I could see him holding out his robe on each side and walking down there, and they would look up and reach out. Now, boy, that's a sermon all by itself, to look up and to reach out. Wow. When you touch the Lord, he touches you. I'm telling you, virtue would come out of that robe, just like it did with this woman of great overcoming faith. And virtue would go out of the robe, and everybody that believed and looked up and reached out was healed. Now, I want to tell you, the scripture comes out of Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, and it talks about that the Son of Righteousness will rise up, and he'll have healing in his wings. Come on! We get to see that. Is that a beautiful picture? Oh, man. See, I get so excited about stuff like that. Okay, John 21:25, and there are also many other things. So, see, you cannot dare. This is what I'm encouraging pastors. We minister to a lot of pastors. This is what I'm encouraging pastors and churches and people in other places. Look, I respect your church. I respect your church. Every church has some strengths, and it's so beautiful in the body of Christ. But I'm going to share with you, do not limit your view of God to a traditional view, church view. He's bigger than that. You cannot dare limit the Lord to your own personal experience because he's bigger than that. And so don't put God in a box. Don't quench him. Don't restrict him. And all the people said. Even if they should all be recorded, the things that Jesus did in detail. I suppose that even the world itself could not attain or have room for the books that would be written. I want to tell you, there was a whole lot of what he did that we haven't read about. And the Lord has many ways to touch people and minister people. He loves to reveal himself. And he did it a number of times in a number of ways. And a lot of them we don't even read in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit was great to give us the highlights. Amen? And the highlights are more than enough. Amen. Look up and reach out. Man, that needs to be a lifestyle. Okay? Hey, we're to reach out and take it. We're to take it. We're to receive it. We're to own it. Now, there's people that don't like me to talk like that, but in those testimonies or reports of his works, he must have heard how that Jesus, get this now, Jesus never asked for any form of payment. Boy, there's ministries that do that. I can't even go there. Okay? Nor did he ever condemn the sick for being sick. Boy, there's people that call themselves of great faith, and if they don't see something happen immediately, they say, it's your fault, your fault, your fault. Sin! I want to tell you, that's just not right. Jesus never condemned the sick for being sick. He never shamed them for not having all their stuff together, or their stuff all together. In other words, she heard of the works and how the words of Jesus were full of compassion. Listen to me. You see, when this is why it's so important that you seek him and see him, and you get to see his loveliness, because you'll see that he really is full of compassion, and he's full of grace, and he's always willing to forgive. Are you listening? He's always willing to forgive, and he's always willing to release his power to heal the sick and deliver those that are harassed and tormented by the enemy, no matter what shape, character, or background, creed, or color, or even what century it is. This is why he came. We complicate it. I want to tell you something. We quench the Holy Spirit by the love of Jesus. We quench the Holy Spirit from the love of Jesus being expressed and being manifested, because we tend to condemn and disqualify ourselves. I'm just undeserving. I don't deserve it. And you know, where I grew up in church, they just didn't believe that all that was over. Well, God's not finished. Okay? And you know what? Don't disqualify yourself. Don't help the enemy out. He's the accuser of the brethren. Don't disqualify yourself. Look, God's love and grace and that, yes, simple faith is how he operates. His grace supplies the answers. He has supplied the provision even before we ask. Listen to this. Exceedingly above all that we ask or think, it's already been provided for up here. You got it? You're not restricted down here, because he's provided it up here. And he delights in you taking it. All right? And owning it. What are you believing God for? He loves for us to believe big. What are you believing God for that the world or the religious world would say is impossible? Because God loves to operate on that channel. It seems that, listen, Jesus qualified people in such a simple way. Listen to how he qualified people. Do you have a need, and did you come? Now, boy, that's pretty deep, isn't it? Simply coming to him with their needs. He simply loved on them with the miracles and the provision they needed. This was her focus. She was conscious of his goodness and his unfailing love, because she had been hearing and meditating on his words and his works, and she received a revelation of who he is. Hope came. She saw herself touching his garments as others had and being healed. Faith came. She spoke a word of faith. I'll just go and touch. She was not centered on the I can't tell you how many times I practiced that this week. She wasn't focused on the longevity. The long length of her illness. I'm so glad I get plenty of help. You're so gracious. She wasn't centered in on how long it'd been. Now, I want to tell you, people will disqualify themselves by how long it's been. She didn't. I love that about her, don't you? She wasn't focused on what type of illness it was that doctor after doctor after doctor had sent her home to fail. She wasn't focused on the bankruptcy or her lack or even the consciousness of her sick. You know, it's just real simple. I've said it once. I'll say it a couple times for it to sink in. She was just conscious of him. Now, I want to tell you, say, well, I don't have that problem. I want to tell you, I hear it. You know what I hear? Well, preacher, why did this virus start? Hey, that's none of your business. We don't have to park there. We don't need to know the where and the how it started. We don't need to know the why. Okay? It's destructive, so we know it's of darkness. That's all you need to know. And we're to resist destruction. Hey, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the thief does. So we know it's not from God. And so that's about all you need to know. Hey, here's the next thing I hear. Well, Pastor, when is it all going to be over? When do we get back to normal? That's none of your business. Get your focus off of that. You see, you could park on the why, and you could park on the when it's all going to be over. Vaccine, a mask, everybody, no more sick. No, listen, don't focus on that. You'll miss. Here's your part, just like this little woman that overcame faith. She was conscious of Jesus today. It's today Jesus that makes a victory for your life. It's a today Jesus receiving on the Grace Channel, meditating on him and his goodness that you practice receiving for today. Do not be focused about tomorrow. They got their own challenges. That's Bible. But I want to tell you, we have the Grace Channel for today, and we're to receive today. And tomorrow, we're to receive tomorrow. Same way, same channel. Simply seeing Jesus through his words and works, and she filled up her heart with the meditation of his goodness. I can't wait to hug her neck. But when she saw in her heart who he is, this gave her a holy boldness. Do you see that this came? She didn't work it up. It came. It gave her a holy boldness of faith to receive and to own her healing by touching him. Now listen, this is very important, the next few statements. I'm going to say it in a couple different ways because I want it to sink in. Let me do it like this. This may help. Here it is right here. Truth thinking. Truth meditating. Develops a hope mindset. Develops hope. Where's your hope? Hey, you know what that brings? The two of them together? Hey, true thinking, hope mindset brings faith expression. That's what you see happen with her. It's not any deep formula. It's not any big mystery. Hey, I'm announcing to you that when you see Jesus, see him. When you see Jesus, he sees your faith. And your faith is more than enough because it's his faith. I'm going to say it again. Let's do it like this. When you think right, right here, you align up your mind. You renew your mind to this word. And you agree with what God says versus over what you feel or what you see or what the world says. You operate up here and not down here. But when you think right, guess what? You believe right. That's the power of the word. It renews your mind. It transforms you into his image. When you think right, you believe right. And guess what? You receive right. Wow. Ooh, I think I got to say it again. When you think right, you believe right, and then you receive right. My, 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 my. Be advised. Man, I'm telling you this, and I'm going to end this up. We've got a number of ministers on the team, and I think they've all whispered to me today. I have a little more than normal. That tickles me. I love it. So I'm going to try to wrap this up with this. According to Moses' law, her unclean condition prohibited her from public areas. By law, I'm telling you, she had to practice severe social distancing. See, I don't have to explain that to you, do I? Severe social distancing in the same way that lepers had to. But by and because of her faith, guess what? She took a risk of faith. And she went straight for the goal line. And she scored a touchdown with Jesus. Touch his garment, receive your healing. This was her word of faith. What's your word of faith? What's your word of faith? Well, I want to tell you what. He wants to give you one. Jesus promptly turned around to locate her and to celebrate her faith. And he said, daughter. You know I love that, Mark 5:34. He said to her, daughter. And he says, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and continually be healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. So not only did he minister healing to her body, but he ministered healing to her soul by calling her daughter. And also he shared with her how to walk in liberty and freedom, how to walk in divine health by walking in peace. Well, that's powerful. Now look, I'm blessed to have a number of sons in the Lord and daughters in the Lord across the country, and it really melts me, humbles me to be called Papa T by those that don't have a father figure, some of them do, or for me to be a natural father figure or a spiritual father figure. I want to tell you, it's an honor, and it's very, very important to these sons and daughters that they are, listen to me now, that they are loved by someone who has Father's best interest in them. And one of the most powerful exhortations for them to hear, would you catch this? One of the most powerful exhortations for them to hear goes something like this. I am so proud of you. I want to tell you, everyone needs to hear that. And look, hey, it comes from Father. He said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And I'm announcing to you because you're in Jesus. Even in spite of your report card, because you're in Jesus and it's on his rightness, his righteousness, and not yours, I'm telling you, Father is saying to you, would you catch this? You're my son. You're my daughter in whom I am well pleased. And I want to tell you, he wants you to hear that personally with your name on it. This little woman had been spurned and shunned and isolated by society. She'd been treated like a leper for 12 years, rejection, isolation, unfulfilled life. Her giftings and dreams were squashed by sickness. Well, we know people like that. You may be here. But in that statement, I want to tell you what touches me. She heard from Jesus the love and the acceptance in a personal way. Yes, they were in a very public gathering, crowded with people, but she received a personal touch to her ministry, to her soul, as well as her body. Do you see it? And that's what our Savior is. He's full of grace and unfailing love. That's what he wants to do with you today. Would you let him? I want to pray for you right now, and I want you to just turn your heart toward the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for these well-loved ones. I pray in Jesus' name that your word will be so planted in the hearts, in their souls, and that their minds will be filled with you. Lord, we declare your words to have priority, your works to be preeminent. And Lord, I declare in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will show us in practical ways how to remember, how to practice meditating, musing, and muttering this truth. And Lord, so that we can see who he is. I thank you, Lord, that revelation you make very, very personal. And you're able to minister hope in our imagination room. And we just declare in Jesus' name that that word of faith will come forth. Lord, that same word, like you sent your word to heal. And Lord, I just declare in Jesus' name that people will be healed out of the pits, out of destructiveness, out of being disoriented. I declare in Jesus' name that they hear the personal call to come home and to receive by simple faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all say amen. I give the Lord praise and thanksgiving for you. And we're so excited about you, and we'll pick up next week and have some fresh ground to cover. Okay? God bless you all. All right. Praise ye the Lord.